This is Jody Sweetin.
And this is Andrea Barber from How Rude Tanneritos. The 90s gave us some great things. The music? Totally rad. The fashion? So fly.
But home decor? Not so much. In HGTV's new competition series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars,
including Jody,
including me, take on two homes frozen in time.
Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh, modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights.
Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century style. Totally 90s House. Special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. And I'm going to open the phone lines up right now at 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. We have Linda Tice with us from Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio. And if you have any questions about the gala, folks, many of you out there listening may have some questions. Give us a call, because she's here to answer that. Meanwhile, here, it's an interesting thing that I don't know if you saw what happened with Hakeem Jeffries. He had a meeting with Jared Kushner. And talking, did you hear about that?
No, well, but
anyhow, the Democrats have lost their minds. They're calling him a traitor now. James Carville, James Carville just went totally insane with Trump derangement syndrome, and he's saying you never even talked to those people. Never anyone. We're not to ever even talk to them. You're a traitor. I mean, and a number of them coming out and attacking him. And also, now he came and he spoke out against anti-Semitism. And then that also now puts him more at odds. But guess who else? I can't believe it came out and spoke out against him. Anti-Semitism, none other than what is his name, El Siad, who's running for the Senate there in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
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 He actually, and I mean, when he did that, because his mentor and all of those people, the anti-Semites, I got a feeling that he was coached by Bernie Sanders to do that. But he came out, and now he's got some people having second guesses, some Democrats about him, because he's, he said that anti-Semitism is wrong, to hate Israel is wrong. But then he also came out, and he's talking about children should have the right to choose if they want to get their trans surgery. What do you think of that?
Oh, my gosh. Kids can't choose what clothes to wear to school. And we're going to give them those things to make choices about. Oh, my gosh.
You see, whatever gender you are, there's been a choice that's already been made. God made the choice, didn't he?
He surely did.
And he doesn't ever get things wrong, does he?
Never.
Yeah, it just, that's amazed me how there's such a dearth of common sense. And then you hear people like James Carville talk about having common sense. And then he goes off and he throws those fits, goes into the, Trump derangement syndrome. You hear Bill Maher talking about people having, you got to go back to having common sense. And then he comes up and he tries to convince us that there is no God. Not a very smart thing, would you think?
Well, I think he's still trying to convince himself. That's why I think he keeps saying it, because he keeps bringing people on his program who argue with him about it, or not argue, but who try to enlighten him, and he can kind of see their points on some things, but then he always goes back to it. So I do think he's just trying to justify it in his own mind, but he's gotten really common sense on some other things. So I just keep praying that that will translate into his spiritual life too. Pastor, I don't understand why it is, and I see it a lot just lately among people that I know with their kids who are adult children now and who seem to be looking everywhere for answers but Jesus. It's like they put him over here and figure, well, he'll take care of me in the end if I can't find it another way. And they go to everything else. They go to Oprah Winfrey, and they go to books, and they go to all of these people that are, quote, spiritualists. And I don't know what it is that we can do to move them over to say, do you know how much freedom you can find in Jesus? Everything is right there. And you're going to all these other avenues looking. It's very frustrating for me because I'm at a loss sometimes, because I know that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, we do what we can do, and then the Holy Spirit moves them after that. But it's really sad to see people looking everywhere, like Bill Maher, looking everywhere for answers except Jesus.
Well, the Word of God does not return void. And see, I could help Bill Maher out, because I could tell him, I ask him a question if he... And the question would be, do you believe that mathematics is a science, is an accurate science? And just about everybody that I know, most people anyhow, believes that mathematics is an absolute science. But you see, mathematically, there has to be a God. You see, because mathematically, there could not be a creation without a creator. If there is no God, Linda, then we don't exist. And if we don't exist, then the argument's mute, and we don't have anything to be concerned about, I guess, because we're not really here to begin with. But if we're really here, and sometimes sometimes I'm wondering if we're not all here, you know, but then if we're really here, there has to be a God, because we were made in the image of somebody, right? And And that's a reality. It's impossible, mathematically impossible, to have a creation without a creator. It never has happened, never will happen. And that's just...
it's such good news. It's such positive good news. And so many are stuck in all the negative stuff. And you just want to say, just go over here. Just repent of where you've been. Go over here, pick up a cross, and follow this guy, because he is our God and our Savior. But sometimes it's just a process, I think, for a lot of people.
Absolutely. You know, the rest of my message this week, you know, we were in the punishment part of the curse, but it gets a whole lot better for the nation of Israel, because they repent, that there comes a time. You see, God knows how to motivate repentance. He knows how to bring them to repentance, and we see that he brings them to repentance. And, of course, he brought us to repentance. That's why how we got saved. And so it goes on with the rest of this message there, and the story keeps talking about how he started out in Genesis chapter 12 with those that bless Israel, God will bless, and those that curse Israel, God will curse. And the covenant he made before that, the Noah covenant, that was to all peoples and all nations forever. It's an everlasting. But then the Abrahamic covenant was a covenant for a special people set aside for himself there. And which was different, and we talked about that. So, I'm going to listen to what the Word of God says. I'm not going to join up with those folks that are anti-Israel. Did you know what's happening there in England and in Wales in their prisons?
No.
The Muslims are forcing all the white male prisoners to either convert to Islam or die. And of course, in England still, even though they're starting to push back now, England's starting to push back. Other nations, France, Italy, now Denmark, there a number of them. They're sending back to North Africa all the radical Muslims that came in. They're deporting them. They learned from Trump that it can be done, and so. But what's happened there in England? And I know we've talked about this before, but they just recently had the two largest marches they've ever had to protest, because what's been taking place is these Muslims, and especially Somalis and that, whose culture, in their culture, rape is no big deal. It's not a, mm-hmm. And so they couldn't understand why they make such a big deal out of rape. But anyhow, they raped so many of those young British girls that the people had enough, and they had this huge protest, and now, so all across the country, and now what's happening here, you just saw what happened in Dearborn, Michigan. You had thousands of people come out, show up there at Dearborn, because what they did with Jake Lang, you know who Jake Lang is?
I'm not sure, Pastor.
He was one of the J6ers. I've had him on the program many times.
Yes, I take that back.
He found ways to call right from his prison cell, to call in here, and while he was in there, okay. Went there. The Muslims tried to stone him, and he made it to a police car, got in the back of the car. They tried to stone him. So now that showed up, thousands of people showed up out there, bikers, and huge numbers, and they're letting them know they're not going to put up with that. They're tired of people in the area are tired hearing the call to prayer five times a day. You had a number of pastors that were told they were not welcome in Dearborn. The Christians are not welcome in Dearborn, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had the police chief, the mayor, the judges, they're all Muslim. And in other words, they didn't want to assimilate into the society. They want Sharia law there. And yeah. But the people said enough is enough. And the people showed up and they said, no, you're not going to have that here. We're not going to accept it. We're pushing back. Same thing's happening out there in Texas right now.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some very good things.
So, you know, interestingly, I had a conversation with a friend of mine on Sunday at church. Her husband works in the prisons, and they were talking about how right now in the prisons they're so concerned because the Muslims and the illegals that are here that are in the prisons are preaching so much to all of these people who are really vulnerable. You know, I mean, we have good luck when we go into the prisons to talk about Jesus because they're at the end of their rope. Well, evidently the Muslims in the prisons are also proselytizing to people in there, and they're getting them to, you know, to follow their particular form of, quote, religion. And then when they're let out, they just go out and do more and more of it. And they're really concerned about it because they said the prisons in Ohio have that going on all over the place, that they're proselytizing in prison.
Oh, absolutely. I was on a weekly basis for 45 years up on death row in a prison population there. And there's all kinds of that going on. In fact, here, I was a chaplain there for a while there at the Justice Center in Cleveland, downtown, and mm-hmm. they had like 1,800 inmates in that place. But I went up on there, and I had one of my men, Dean, we had gotten him off of death row, but he was being held there for more hearings. And so when I went in, I told him, I brought a bunch of Bibles up. And as you walk up, you know, you have the first door You open that, and then there's a table, and you can set the Bibles on the table. The second door won't open until the first door closes. So when the guard opened the door, and I brought the Bibles in, he said, "Well, are you coming out?" And I said, "No, I'm going in there." He said, "You're going to go in there?" Because all of these were Muslims in there. They were all Muslims, and they were all in there for, like, murder and serious, very serious crimes. Dean was the only one that wasn't. Dean was the only white man in there, and he wouldn't come out of his cell. He was the only Christian, and he would not come out of his cell. And I told the guard, "No, I'm going to go in there." The guard says, "Are you going to go in there?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "We won't even go in there." I said, "Well," I said, "they don't hate me yet, okay, you know." So anyhow, as the first door closes, I heard the second door open, and I heard the guard yell down the hallway, "You guys ought to see this. That preacher's bringing a bunch of Bibles into those murderers." And so I went in there. There was a long table, and it was kind of like slightly oval, you know, shape. And it had about 10 seats there. So I went in, I put a Bible at every place there. And then they opened the gates all at once, the cells all at once, and they all come out. And I'm sitting there, and they're walking around me, looking at me, and they're looking at the Bibles. And so as they got up real close, I said, "Sit down!" like that. And they all did. They all sat down real fast, and I introduced myself. Some of them knew about for the radio program. They didn't necessarily like what we did, but they knew about the radio program. And anyhow, so we had a talk, and I witnessed them, and they were polite. But every time I would say something, they would look at, you could tell who their leader would. They would all look at him and before they would answer, or till he would give them a nod. And I said, "Those Bibles are for you to keep." And they said, "We can keep these?" I said, "Yeah." And they all looked at him, and he nodded, "Yeah, you can keep them." And they were happy about that. And we had a little bit of a Bible study right there. And it was good because they didn't kill me.
And you brought something to them and left it for them, whatever it was. You know, probably didn't matter to him too much. It mattered more that you were kind enough to give them something. So maybe that, you know, inspired them to be looking at it more after you left.
Yeah. Well, the point, maybe it could be that I thought enough to bring, yeah, to come up there and to witness the gospel to him. And so, but anyhow, I
that
guess.
That is a really special ministry, a really special ministry. It's so needed.
Yeah, I don't make the prisons anymore. I did for 45 years, but we're still in total contact. I talk with inmates about every day, and a lot of those fellows, a lot of them have no family at all, none. And we help them out with sometimes in our prison system, the food is horrible that a lot of these guys get. It is horrible, believe me. I wouldn't tell you if it wasn't. And so we help them out, so sometimes they can buy a little better high-quality food there and other things that they can't necessarily get. There needs a lot of reform in our Department of Corrections in Ohio. I call it Department of Corruptions, okay? There's some real good people in there, you know, but it's far from what it should be, for sure.
Well, maybe our next governor will be good in that department.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be having a meeting with him and with a number of the pastors coming up in the near future. And so hopefully these are some things we're going to bring to his attention. But, you know, the Bible, I'm bringing to the attention, you know, the Bible. A lot of times folks say, yeah, we are to feed the hungry and house the homeless and clothe the naked. But it also says visit those in prison. Visit those in prison. And, you know, we have a lot of innocent people in prison today. We've gotten seven men off death row that would, you know, But and I know for a fact the number of innocent men have been executed in the state of Ohio here. And so, you know, I'm 100% in favor of the death penalty as it's given to us there in the Noahic Covenant. But, you see, in order, the Bible says, in order to give the death penalty, you have to have legitimacy. You see, and our government has power, but it has no authority or no legitimacy according to God's word, the Bible. And because the very first command that God gives in the Bible is to be fruitful and multiply. And you know that by the time you hit Genesis 9, it gives it for the third time. And then in that Noahic covenant, when it gives you the 5 points of human government, the entire purpose, Linda, the entire purpose of legitimate divine human government is to preserve the image of man that being, or the image of God that being man. And when Roe v. Wade was passed, our government lost all legitimacy. They have power there, like any criminal with a gun's got power. But that's reality. And don't you think maybe most of the pastors should have the courage to preach that?
You would think so.
Yeah, you would. Yeah. You would. Anyhow, I want to thank you for being here with me. I know that you said you'd stay till quarter after, and it's way past that. So.
Yep, I should probably pop off. But yeah, thanks for having me on. I so appreciate it. I just appreciate that you have this kind of connection with people all over the country, Pastor Ernie. Does my heart good to know that you're still at it and people are still listening and you can lead them in prayer and, praying for Pastor Hal tonight. I mean, those are the kinds of things that we should all be doing on a regular basis, and you do it. You actually get out there and do the things that we say we should do. So just really appreciate it and appreciate you over all these years being faithful. Because God doesn't call us always to be successful. Sometimes we are, but he calls us to be faithful. And you have been a great example of that to me in our friendship and in our work together over all this time.
You have been a wonderful and a very, very wise lady over all of these years. And I've watched you. Your heart has been for the unborn. Your heart has been for those that, the voiceless. And God bless you, Linda. You're a wonderful, wonderful lady.
Well, you're too kind, but God bless you too. And we'll be in touch. And I hope you can make it to the gala. And if anybody's got any questions about it, please feel free. Just go to rtlaohio.org. And everything's right there. And you can get a hold of us anytime.
All righty. Well, God bless and get a good night's sleep.
I'm going to. I got lots to do first thing in the morning. So thanks so much again. I love you. We'll talk
love
to you,
you
soon.
Too.
Okay. Good night.
Okay. Good night. What a sweetheart that lady is. I've known her folks for over 50 years. I think it's been about 53 years, something like. And what a sweetheart. She's worked, always putting other people before herself, always working tirelessly. And the only time I've ever seen her where other than being completely sweet is when we had a meeting in the old Right to Life office, and it was a hot August day, and she was very pregnant. She was ready to deliver, and it was a really, really hot day, and there was no air conditioning, and she came out, and Dr. Wilkie and I were there. And she said, I want air conditioning. I want it now, right now. And we jumped in a car and went and bought one and put it right in there for that office back in those days. So anyhow, what a sweetheart she is. Phone lines are open at 216-901-0933. 216-901-0933. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Wake County parents out there at school, in the elementary school, they're not really happy, and that's in North Carolina. They're not really happy with the school board and the school because they have a transgender in their teaching. And a lot of people want to opt their children out of teaching music, out of the music classes, because they don't want their children being around a transgender. And so here on the school board, well, you know, we haven't, we don't know, because we don't know if that's, you know, you can opt your children out of things like certain classes where, or certain things like getting shots or I'm trying to think of the different things that they allow you to opt your children out of. But they said, we don't know if that could be, if we can let you opt them out because the teacher's a transgender. And, well, the people there in Wake County said, no, that's not good enough. So what would you, you folks out there, what do you think? In elementary school, would you opt your child out if the teacher was a transgender? Give us a call, 216-901-0933, 216-901-0933. Folks, Wendy Wilson, the apothecary herb lady, Miss Herbal America, America's Medicine Marm, she is having a sale. It's a Labor Day sale from now through Labor Day. And it's 25% off orders of $100 or more. And you get a free catalog, one of her free, and her catalogs are dynamite. They go into, they tell you all the natural herbs you can use for all the different ailments that you have. And so the phone number there is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Or just go up on the internet to www.thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And Wendy's been serving up her all-natural herbal medicine for, well, since 2000, for 26 years. She's been doing it, and she has a very, very good, very, very, very high-quality product. And that's why I take it. That's why we use it, and that's why we promote her. Because their products work. Okay. Do you have any questions about what we talked about tonight? What do you think about Darlene Graham? Is she going to work out, or is she going to be... A lot of people have a lot of questions, and I hope that she doesn't turn out to disappoint Trump like... All right, who do we have?
John in Minnesota.
Let's go to Minnesota with John. John, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor. How's your day going?
Okay, pretty good today so far.
Glad to hear it. Thanks for taking my call. My comment was pretty basic. Something I think you talked about earlier is the Supreme Court gave a decision to follow the rules on mail-in ballots. And I live in an apartment building where when new people move in and they forget to put their name in their mailbox, the mailman puts up a sign on the wall every so often, and it says, by law, all names must be clearly written on your postal box. Now, I didn't have time to really look at the report today from the Supreme Court that decided in favor, you know, but I think that could be related where, you know, like Nick Shirley's talking about all these places that have hundreds of voters at a certain, you know, mailbox or post office box. Well, they can't possibly have their names on their box. I mean, so there's a rule about that, and that's a federal law. So I don't think they're going to be able to wiggle on that. So I think we got a decision that might help us in this
election. Oh, it's definitely going to help us. It definitely will. See, The decision is that they have to provide all the blue states, all the red states have no problem. They have to provide a voter's roll, a legitimate voter's roll to the U.S. Post Office. And once they've done that, and then it has to go through the DHS, the DHS clears it. In other words, they get the voter's roll, and then they check it out, and then it's turned to the post office, and then the post office will mail out the ballots to that state, okay? But if they fail to turn in the voter's roll so that they can be checked off, they won't mail any ballots to that state, okay?
Okay, so what about these people that they say are dead, like my state? They said our legislature today said, because we have like 67 Democrats and 67 Republicans, they said that they were able to decide, the Democrats, our legislator in Minnesota, that we will not be removing the dead people. So based on the court's decision today, I hope this really has some teeth where the post office, which is a federal, it's a federal department, is going to be able to say, now, wait a minute, you know, we're not going to be delivering things to somebody that's not verified or that's dead.
Hold on one second.
I hope it works out.
Hold on one second, John. We'll be back right after this.
The doctor did our dirty work, so now we pay the bill. We thought he solved our problem, but our life's a living hell. I toss and turn in bed at night, 'cause God, it's hard to sleep. In my heart and in my mind I hear a voice that says to me, you could have took me fishing, Dad. You could have taught me how to swim. I could have made you proud of me. Now I'll never have that chance. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? I never thought of it as right or wrong, but I think about it now. Oh, God, I'd give my life if I could just turn time back somehow. I'd let him live and watch him grow. Oh, I'd buy him everything. But now he won't need a ball or bat. He'll never play one game. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have grown into a man. I should have had my chance at life. We could have been the best of friends. Daddy, did I have to die? God, the choice of life belongs to you. It wasn't hers or mine. And I know she feels the same way too. Sometimes I hear her cry. How can we ever be the same or live with what was done? Instead of these two broken hearts, God, we might have had a son. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoe. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? Daddy, did I have to die?
No, you didn't have to die. If all them professing Christians had done what they should have done, there wouldn't be any abortion. Are you still there, John?
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah. Pastor.
Yeah, I wanted to see with what's happening. Some of these states have so many dead people on their rosters. Let me tell you where it's really going to hit hard is California. I mean, California has got it's the worst by far. And now, if they refuse, they're not going to get the ballots, and they are determined. Some of these Democrats, those who are running for office, actually said we should be allowed to cheat because we can't win if we don't. And I mean, that's the mindset of those on the left. That's communism.
So yes, sir. So it leaves me wondering if the federal post office isn't going to deliver these. That's great. But if some local here in Minnesota or there in California or another blue state, if they figure out a way to print mail-in ballots and send them out.
Well, you might have a point there because the Postal Service.
Someone isn't patrolling.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be there. Believe me, they'll be doing. I got to move on because the lines are all
okay,
filled.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Who do we have next? Michael. Let's go to Michael. Hey, Michael, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor Ernie. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing okay. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing great, my friend. I just wanted to say that thank God I was born back in the day. From back in grade school, we stood up and said the Pledge of Allegiance and put our hand over our heart. And there wasn't no such thing as that transgender and all that confusion that they're trying to put on us now. I remember the old, that last song he played by, what was it, Danny Ray?
Yeah.
Oh, Danny Ray, man. He's true as blue as there is, man. But thank God that he's born such a time as this.
Amen. You know what you're talking about. Up until the seventh grade, we had prayer in school in the morning. The principal would lead us in a prayer. And then when you got to your homeroom class, the teacher would lead. You'd have two prayers every morning in school. And that was in the public school.
Yes, sir.
And boy,
sir.
Things were a whole lot better in those days. We didn't have nearly the crime and all that we have today.
Oh, no. We had a screen door that my mama or daddy made, never locked it. And, you know, we loved our neighbor. You know, I mean, I remember going to school when it was segregated. And up to about third grade, and it got desegregated. And there was one or two of the more melanated people, you know, what I'm trying to say, that, you know, and we wind up having some differences, but then again, we wind up becoming the best friends, you know. And
yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with people nowadays, man, but they just can't see the light, man.
Now, it's, you know, what you have, like it says there in Isaiah chapter 5, verse, they put good for evil, evil for good. They're inside out, upside down, and backwards.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike.
I just want to say, God bless you, Pastor Ernie, and you hang in there because when they think they got us all stomped underneath the ground, underneath the floor, just remember there's going to be always one of us left around.
All righty. Amen. Okay. Very good. Thank you. All right. Who do we have next there? Okay. Well, let me tell you what we have here. I have, very quickly before I take another call, Lord's willing, I have a tract that's been passed out. But this is not a Bible tract. It's an anti-Bible tract. And it talks about Bible contradictions, and it's put out from the Freedom from Religious Foundation. And here, it's all about trying to find contradictions in the Bible. I mean, they probably have, I would say, 50, 60, what they call contradictions. And so, well, maybe even more than that. And Lord's willing, I may, well, of course, can't do all of these in one sermon, but I may just answer this, Lord's willing, this because all of it, there's answers to us. Like some of this cell, he tells you in Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill. Then Exodus 32:27, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and slay every man his brother and companion. So he's saying, see how this is a big contradiction. Well, is it really? We'll find out. I'll go through and show you God's word. The Bible is not it doesn't contradict itself. You just have to have a little bit more intelligence and listen and very carefully to what it's saying. So there you go. Speaking of that, bombshell. Trump confirms ICE enforcement proceedings underway against Ayan Omar over immigration fraud. President Donald Trump this past Sunday night appeared to confirm that federal immigration authorities have contemplated enforcement proceedings against radical squat leader Ayan Omar of Minnesota over longstanding allegations of immigration fraud. Well, they caught her on a number of things. One of the things is she married her brother. Now, that's not legal in this country to marry your brother. I'm surprised that it's not anymore with everything else, okay? But here he goes on. ICE claimed that disclosing the records could interfere with enforcement proceedings, so they're not going to disclose, but Trump posted the report on True Social Sunday evening without adding further commentary. The explosive development concerns allegations that Omar entered into a fraudulent marriage with Ahmed Nur Syed Elmai, who is her brother, her biological brother, to help him remain in the United States. Omar has repeatedly denied the accusation. Just the News filed a Freedom of Information Act request in January seeking the documents related to the ICE investigation and the immigration fraud. ICE refused to turn over records, citing, well, it goes on, 5 U.S.C.C. 5252A7A, an exemption protecting law enforcement material which disclosure could disrupt an investigation or proceedings. Disclosure of any responsive records at this time could reasonably be expected to interfere with enforcement proceedings, ICE wrote. So ICE has not publicly identified the precise proceedings, announced charges, or confirmed that removal proceedings have formally begun against Omar. However, the agency's response is the clearest official indication to date that federal scrutiny surrounding the congresswoman remains active. So, Style, why do you think that ICE might kind of hold off on this right now? You know, with an upcoming midterms election, do you think if they were to deport her that might motivate and activate the Democrats? Let's cut to the quick of this. You want to just take a minute and tell me what it is you do know? Something's going on here. All righty. The Bible says in the last days, just before the second coming of Christ, a man of great charisma, flattery, and peace will rule over the entire world. Scripture calls him the beast or the man of sin. However, most Christians today refer to him as the Antichrist. The Bible also tells us that this man will sit in the temple in Jerusalem and claim to be God. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. The Antichrist will be the greatest deceiver that has ever lived on planet Earth. He will be so deceitful that the whole unsaved world will worship him as God and receive his mark, 666, in their forehead or their right hand, including all the false religions of the world. This is known in Scripture as the mark of the beast, Revelation 13:16-17. The mark of the beast will permit those that receive it to buy and sell and function during the worldwide reign of the Antichrist, which will last 42 months, Revelation 13:5. However, it will also be a damnation of their souls. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. The Bible prophecy is coming to pass very soon. The whole world will have to decide whom they will worship, the Antichrist or Jesus Christ. This is a predicament all of God's people will be in during the Great Tribulation. However, true Christians that have turned to Jesus in their whole heart will resist the Antichrist and his mark no matter the cost. The overcomers will join the great multitude of saints in heaven and play the songs of Jesus and worship the true and living God forever and forever. Well, now here you're going to see the true church will be taken up before that. But during the tribulation period, there are going to be more people get saved probably than up to that time, because you're going to have more people in the world. And the reason for that is you're going to have 144,000 flaming John the Baptists out there. These were all men, all young men who have not known a woman. And they will be 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. And they'll have a mark on them. And because of that mark, the Antichrist will not be able to touch them. Now, people will realize a number of things during that tribulation, those that are left behind. First of all, they're going to realize that there's a whole lot of people, those Christian people that were preaching the gospel, they're gone. And they're going to think it a little bit strange to find piles of clothes around and artificial limbs stacked in piles all over the place. They're going to find it a little bit strange where planes might be falling out of the sky because the pilot's gone, or cars would be wrecked, or trucks or boats at sea. They're going to realize something different has happened. Then they're going to remember what they heard. They've heard, but they never really listened closely. Many of them will be looking to find the King James Bible, and of course the opposition will be trying to collect up all the Bibles so they don't have them. This will happen. Now, you don't want to be there when all of this is happening, because you have an opportunity during the tribulation period, but it's going to be very, very tough. Very tough. Persecution is going to be great. But if you persist, You cannot deny the Lord. You cannot take the mark. If you persist, you'll be saved, and you'll be one of the tribulation saints. But it's going to be difficult. But you don't have to be there during that tribulation period, folks, because if you're saved before the rapture, well, you've sure saved yourself a whole lot of pain and trouble. The bottom line is this. There needs to be a true sorrow. If you really realized, if you could really, and it's what you have to do. You have to really realize the pain and the suffering that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on your behalf. If you can really realize that, and you need to think about that, how here, not only was he beaten bloody till he wasn't even recognizable, but he had taken the sins of the world, past, present, and future, upon him. He became sin. He became sin, folks, for you and me. Now, I can tell you, this is far beyond our comprehension to even begin to understand the gravity of that statement, becoming sin for you and me. But I can assure you, listen, it was your sin and my sin that caused that. And if you could undo that, if you would you do that? Well, you know what he did for you, what he did for you. Now it's your turn to do for him. And that's where we talk about what the instructions he left us. For you that are unsaved, pray to the Father. Acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner and a sinner needs a Savior, and that Christ took your place as substitutionary death upon that cross. Pray to the Father and ask for forgiveness of your sins. There's got to be repentance. Without repentance, folks, you're going to perish. And if you've done that, then you recognize that he put you first before him. The Lord, when he took your place, he put you first. Now you have to put him first. First and foremost, in everything. Like he said, he's got to come before your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, and especially yourself. He's got to come before all of that. But, and so, if you do that, then God is always just. And what he will do, you will become a new creature. He will honor that commitment. You will become a born-again believer. And this is a fact, okay? This is reality. And you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, will come and dwell within you. And from that time on, you're on the road to eternity. You're on the road to eternity. And you've got God's word on that, and there's nothing more sure than that. Well, we're out of time for tonight. So as we get to this point every night at this time, we say good night. We say thanks for being here with us. We say God bless. And always, 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 ready? Keep fighting the fight. Fight, 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 fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.